Welcome to the Linked Up Church podcast. We are passionate about connecting people to God, family, purpose, and community. Today, Minister Eliza Ray comes with a thought-provoking message entitled Crossover. Get your pen and your pad ready, and let's go into the worship center and hear what God has for us today.
Well, Pastor Gregory taught a powerful, powerful series called God's Plan. Everybody got a chance to listen to it? If not, please go back to the recordings. It was such a dynamic word. And I'm just going to stand on the shoulders of that word that came from my pastor and talk even more about the beauty of the plan of God and how even in the stories that we know so well, we can see the beautiful plan of God before it even came to pass. And so I just think it's so powerful how he really talked about how the cross, the resurrection, was plan A. That the Lord always planned to come and to die for us, to rise again, so that we can rise in new glory, greater and higher even than what we were in Adam. Amen. It is a powerful thing. And I'm just so amazed by the power of God to display this plan from the very beginning. It says in Revelation 13:8 that Christ was crucified from the foundation of the world. It was already before the world began. It was something that in the mind and in the heart of God. Also love that it says that we were chosen in love in him from the foundation of the world. And so even before we ever sinned, even before we ever fell, he knew what we would do and still chose us in love and had a plan to fix our mistake. What a God. And so today I'm really hoping to display to you the beauty and the glory of our God in this story. That through the revelation of this powerful story that many of us know, that we would see God and desire him and hunger for him even greater. Because last week, as Pastor Gregory talked about the gift and the thing, the promise being knowledge of him, I didn't like that we weren't as excited about that. It's like, that's a huge deal. But you wouldn't recognize that if you didn't know how great he was. And truly, honestly, I say this all the time, I feel so sorry and so sad for anyone whose goal is not to know him deeper. Because that just shows me that you've never encountered the beauty and the glory of who he is. And if you just even had a glimpse, you would say, oh, I gotta see more. Oh, I gotta know more. Oh, I'm hungry for even more of this. And that's been my story. That, oh my God, I got a little glimpse, and then another and another and another. And you see the beauty and the glory so wonderfully that you're captivated by him. And you stay connected. You don't want to break free. Amen. 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 And so he already had this plan from the very beginning. And because of it, even in the events, the historical events of Scripture, we can see prophetic pictures that showcase the plan of God. In the Old Testament, there's so much revelation of Jesus Christ and our coming salvation. And it is so beautiful. What we call it in the theological world are types and shadows. That Moses was a type of Christ. That Joseph was a type of Christ. It's displaying a future thing or a prophetic thing that is so much deeper. It means something for that moment. But it's something that goes so much further and so much beyond even that moment. When I think about them and even their lives, I wonder, like, what is my life in my own moments of obedience, my own moments of staying in line with the Lord? What is this meaning for eternity? Sometimes we think about it too in the moment, right? But if the people of the Old Testament knew that that moment would be so much greater and stretch so much further, they might have even lived it differently. And so I want us to also have that perspective. Like, what is my act of obedience, my moment of staying connected to the Lord? What is it doing for all of eternity, for the brothers and sisters around me, for the things of God, for the story of God? Amen? Amen. Amen. And so the story that I want to talk about, and I'm so excited, and Bernard even like mentioned it with the I am, is Moses and the Exodus narrative. And I want us to see how the cross is can be seen through Passover. Through the Passover story in Exodus, Moses coming and delivering the people out of the hands of the Egyptians through the power of the Lord, and the beauty of the shed blood of the Lamb, how we can see the power of the cross and even our salvation pictured in that powerful moment. Amen? Amen. Oh, I just feel like I need to pray again. I'm too excited. I need to calm my spirit down and go through my notes. I'm gonna get ahead of myself. So Father, thank you that you are with us. You are with us. It is a beautiful thing that you are with us. Moses had the strength to go before Pharaoh because you were with him. And let that be our strength. Let that be our joy. Let that be our freedom, that God is with us in all things. And you're with us in this sermon and in this message. You're with me. I just pray that our minds be ready to receive greater revelation. Whatever you want to reveal from this story, from this thing that I have to share, Holy Spirit, you take the word and reveal it even greater to them, to even greater to the individual. Let it mean something even greater for them personally. And we thank you, Lord, that you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So Moses was not just a powerful man of God who the Lord sent to set the captives free, but he was a type of Christ. He was a shadow and a type of the Christ, the Lord Jesus, and how he would deliver us and save us. The people of Israel were in bondage to Pharaoh's kingdom. And Pharaoh was a huge deal. Like, the kingdom that Pharaoh had was like the greatest in that time. There was nothing stronger, nothing bigger. And he knew this and would enslave people to continue to push forth his demonic kingdom. Now, Pharaoh is a type of Satan. He is a picture and a type of Satan, and his kingdom is a picture and a type of the world. So just as Moses came declaring to Pharaoh, God has sent me and you must let my people go. They're in bondage to this kingdom and I demand for them to be set free. So does Jesus say that the Father has sent me, that my children will be set free from the bondage of Satan and from the way of the world. It is the same picture. It was a type and a shadow of what was to come. And so Satan, like Pharaoh, right? Back then, they didn't just see the kings as a king, but Pharaoh was the god. He was the god of that kingdom. They recognized him as a god to be worshiped. And it is the same thing for Satan, right? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the little g, god of this world. And I think when we hear that, it's like, okay, yeah, Satan is the god of this world. But what is that actually saying? What does that actually mean? What is the world? The world are the systems of man within the earth, right? He ain't the god of the earth, right? God made the earth. But then there is the world. It is the systems of man within the earth. So what are some of the systems of man? Shout them out. Politics, government, what else? Culture, come on, healthcare. Money, hello. Come on, shout them out. Fashion, media, yes. All of these are systems of man. Even religion is a system of man in the earth. And Satan, says it in 2 Corinthians 4:4, is the god of it. He's the one running the show. We might not recognize it, and people might call us conspiracy theorists to say that actually who is really behind this, if we really unveil the veils, we will see the devil and the enemy pushing forward his agenda in the world. And the purpose of his agenda is just the same as Pharaoh's purpose against the people of Israel. To capture you, to captivate you, to use you for his purposes until you're dead. That's his plan. But Lord, thank you that you sent Jesus like Moses to say, let my people go. Let my people go. Hallelujah. This is why it's so important when the Lord says, love not the world nor the things in the world. Why? Because there's a certain person who is pushing and motivating and inspiring the culture, the way, and we can see it. Oh, it's getting a little crazy now. We can see it even more now. Back then it used to be a little veiled, but now they just outright pretty much saying they worship the devil. And some of y'all are still listening to these things. Let's change it up. Let's change up our music. Let's not feed ourselves the way of Pharaoh. Let's not be so invested in Egypt. That's the world, right? Amen. And so he says, love not the world, nor the things of the world. Why? Because it will compromise your love for the Father. Every time it'll put you at enmity with him because his enemy is pushing its way. Amen. Amen. The difference, I think, though, from Satan and Pharaoh, though there are many similarities if you really read the story. The difference, let me remove these earrings, a little noisy, is that Pharaoh, he was directly and clearly harming the people, right? They knew that they were in major bondage in his kingdom. They cried out to God. They felt and experienced the hardship. They felt and experienced the bondage. But Satan, he's a little more creative. He's a little more crafty. He has found a way, unlike Pharaoh, to get you to love your bondage. It's wild. He has found a way to package the slavery so that you love the oppressor. And so here comes Jesus as a liberation king, the king of liberation. He's saying, you're in this kingdom, this world, this kingdom, and I'm coming with the might and the power of another kingdom, a kingdom that is beyond this world, a kingdom that is so great and so high that can overpower this kingdom that's been enslaving you. And what if when Moses went to the people of Israel, they're like, we good? We're comfortable here. Calm down. It's not that serious. It's not that deep. It's not that deep. What if when God sent Moses and he's like, go, get my people out of there. Let's go. We're doing it. Show them the miracles, the signs, the wonders. Show them, prove to them that I'm the one that sent you. Prove it to them and show them and get them out. What if they saw it all and still stayed in Egypt and still desired Egypt? What we would say is, dang, that's some major deception. Somehow they got extremely deceived. They got deeply tricked to believe that this place that is enslaving them is fun. This place that is enslaving them is a source of comfort, is giving them strength, is helping them out. That money would be a source. That your politics or the person that you're hoping will win the election will actually bring forth something good in the world. That the music will really satisfy you and comfort you and whatever those. What if Moses came and they wanted to stay? Do we feel the burden of the slavery of the world? And here's the thing, I think this is such a good word for all spectrums of people, right? Because there's some people who, like you out here, just, you really loving it. Okay, praise God, we growing. I pray this word, you know, encourages you to get out of Egypt, amen, amen. But then there are other people, right? And you've been saved, you've loved the Lord, you know, it's been there. But your trust in money is just too deep. It's a system of the world. Or your trust in certain things is too, you're just too in love with the way and the systems and the of the world. And the Lord is like, yo, actually, I want all of you. I want all of you. I want all of it. And so Jesus, as a liberation king, I love what it says in Colossians 1, verse 13 through 15, I'm gonna look at. Because it shows us that this is the battle, just like it was, for Pharaoh and Moses. It's a battle of two kingdoms. Because right here in the midst of our earth, there are two spiritual kingdoms. There are two spiritual ways. There is the narrow way and the wide way. There are two ways of being, two kinds of people, even, that the Lord says, right? There's two. And either we're drawing deeper into the presence in the kingdom of God that Jesus came here to display and bring, that will lead us, just as Pastor Gregory said last week, where we receive eternal life now and it'll lead us into eternal life even beyond this. Or we're still connected to Egypt. We're still connected to the kingdom of Satan. And so in Colossians, it tells us that he delivered us from the power of darkness. It even says the kingdom of darkness, right? It's not, I didn't like that translation. It actually says the dominion of darkness, the kingdom of darkness. It wasn't just, oh, you were delivered from darkness to light. It was you were removed and saved from a kingdom, just like the people. Removed and saved from a kingdom of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. It's two kingdoms. It's two kingdoms. That's all there is. And all of the things that we see in the world, we have to decipher, now which kingdom is this coming from? Because there's not a lot of neutrals. It's pretty intentional out here. Which kingdom is this coming from? Right? And so let the Lord do the work of delivering you from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So I named this word crossover. I love this. Joelle's the best. Don't y'all love her? I tell her I love her little logos and everything every time because they're so cool. I want the God's Plan t-shirt. Isn't that such so nice? Because I'm connecting the cross to Passover, but I'm also trying to get us to recognize that we need to cross over completely. I don't want to toe in Egypt. I don't want to pinky in Egypt. We need to fully and completely cross over. And it's time. I'm saying this not just, it's a word, but I'm really feeling this prophetically in the earth in this time right now. The Lord is saying it's getting to a point where if you don't cross over now, it's going to be much harder to do so. It's imperative to cross over now. Today is the day. If you heard this word, I believe that it is the grace of God that you've heard this word today. Because it is, the Lord is calling us to cross over. Let's leave the kingdom of the world. Leave the kingdom of Satan completely, everything out. And cross over into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And so Passover is actually, it's a Jewish holiday, still celebrated today. It's coming up actually on the 22nd of this month. And every Passover, they eat a meal and they remember how God completely freed them and delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. And something that he did, we know the plagues, there are so many plagues. And right at the last plague, the Lord does this historical and powerful moment of Passover. And let's look at it in Exodus 12. We'll start at verse 5. Praise God. So Pharaoh was being stubborn, just like the enemy. He doesn't let you go freely. He doesn't let you go freely. Sometimes you gotta fight your way out. Sometimes you got to come swinging. It can't be cute. Get out. But we're going to look at this story, how you're empowered to get out. It's not just fight on your own strength, but you're empowered to get out. He refused to let them go, and the Lord decided to do a mighty and powerful work that broke many hearts of the Egyptians, but was also a picture of something that they were doing to the Israelites, to murder the firstborn of all of their children, their cattle, all of it. But for his people, he wanted them to be covered in the midst of it. So let's look at this. So we're at Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. Oh, let me give some back. Okay. So he told them to get a lamb. This is how he starts. Before I do this work against Pharaoh, this last plague, here's what I want you to do. Get a lamb, and your lamb shall be without blemish. Does that sound familiar? A male of the first year. You take it from the sheep's and the goats. Wow. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two posts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. So wherever they were going to eat this lamb. So wherever house they were going to eat it, they put the blood on the doorpost. We know that well. We put the blood on the doorpost. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, unleavened bread with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. It also said, not just for them to eat it, but to eat the whole. Don't leave nothing left on this lamb. Eat every piece and every part of this lamb. And that was super imperative for them to do. Don't leave any part of it, right? This lamb is a picture of the beautiful sacrifice of Christ. Yes. The Lord came to pronounce judgment on the people of the world, the people in Egypt. The only rightful judgment for that sin was death. And so the angel comes and strikes death upon every house. That's our sentence. That's our sentence. There's nothing more. The wages of sin is death. And so he strikes death on every household. But for those who have the lamb, for those who have the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, death passed over them. Passover. It passed over them. This is a picture of Christ. For those of us who have the lamb, Jesus is called the Lamb of God. And John even says it. He says, look, here's the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. We call him the Lamb. We recognize him the Lamb, but he's the Passover Lamb. For those of us with the blood of Jesus that covers us, death has passed over us. And not just that death has passed over us, but he dies in our place. Because it was the firstborn that died in all the household, but the lamb was the firstborn, the lamb that they chose. It had to be the firstborn without blemish. So Jesus comes like this lamb, dying in our place. And it's so powerful, taken from the sheep and the goats, picturing how he came even from what was unclean, but that he was clean in the midst of us, right? And they shall eat the whole lamb. So powerful. So powerful. Let's look at verse 11 and 13 through 13. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that though things may occur in this world, that even God, as you even pour out your wrath or pour out unclean or things against the people of the world, that it shall pass over us. That we are covered under the blood of Jesus. We have a peace and a security. We have protection because of the blood, not because of anything we've done, yet only by accepting him, but because of the powerful blood of Jesus, we are set free. So this is a picture of Jesus. Everyone had to kill the lamb, showing how we're all responsible for his death. He was the firstborn to die, just as he was the first of many, and we rise up with him as well. And because of his sacrifice, we are free from the bondage of the devil. Amen. What I love so much about this is that it even goes, just kind of a side note, that it even goes down to the details of how God intentionally told them to do these very specific things because he knew what he was going to do. Sometimes when people tell this, it's kind of like that Jesus came knowing that there was a Passover, so he made sure he fulfilled it. No. The plan was already set from the beginning. And when he gave the commandment, he gave it because he knew what he was going to do. Amen. And so one thing they had to do was they take a branch and the hyssop. That's what was dipped in to put the blood. Those same things were present at the death and burial of Jesus. They took the branch and the hyssop and dipped it in wine to offer him something to drink, right? And that wine representing that blood. It was just to show that this was the fulfillment of it. Another thing, it was strictly commanded that you do not break the bones of the lamb. When you're eating the Passover, do not break one bone. And Jesus, in his crucifixion, although it was normal for them to break the legs after crucifixion, he was the only one whose bones were not broken. And so they could not break the bones of the lamb because you're not going to fulfill. It has to be exactly what it was. But one of my favorite ones is the very timing. They were commanded to kill the lamb, to crucify it at 3 p.m., it had to be at that very specific time, and that was the very specific time that Jesus died. So amazing how God was so intentional of displaying this. This is why it's like, I want to get to know you. You are so intentional. You are so beautiful. There's so much revelation and beauty in your word. You are just such an amazing God from beginning to end. And what is it that there's literally a thread through all of these thousands and thousands of years and generations and so many writers, and I don't get into, oh, man wrote the Bible. No, you can see the clear thread of God through the entire thing. It doesn't make sense that connected with that, and all of these things are connecting. He's so intentional. But the main reason why I'm trying to sell to you that this was the same moment is because I believe that the commandments around it are literally the commandments for us in our salvation. Say so. That if we want to take the Exodus, that if we are really ready to take the Exodus, to leave the way of the world, to accept the liberation that Jesus has come to bring us, the commandments that they were given cross right over into what we are called to do today. Amen. So one thing they were called to do before they ate the Passover meal, they had to remove the leaven from their homes. There was no leaven, no yeast, nothing that would make the bread rise. They had to remove the leaven. And Jesus shows us in his fulfillment that leaven is like unbelief. We cannot fully cross over from Egypt into the kingdom of the marvelous light if we have unbelief in our hearts. And so that's why Jesus comes saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe. Removing the leaven was a picture of repentance and believing. They went through the full house to make sure there was no place where there was leaven. Sometimes people tell, oh, it's okay to doubt. It is, but it's compromising you. It's, it's weakening you. It's weakening you for the journey out. It will weaken you every time. It's important to ask questions and to get understanding, to get revelation. That's what I mean where that's okay. That's important. That's how we learn and grow. But if we still have unbelief, if we still don't trust that God is truly a provider, then we will still trust in money. If we don't trust that God can truly heal us, then we'll still be dependent on the system of healthcare. If we don't trust that God truly loves us, then we'll still be dependent on the system of people and recognition and social media and all those things. The systems just play on your weaknesses. But that's why the Lord says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He says, if you seek it first, you won't have to worry about all of these things. But what happens is we're too worried about all of the things, and it hinders us from being able to seek first. It stops us from being able to seek first. So he's trying to show you, I'm everything you need. Remove the unbelief so you can take the journey. Remove the unbelief so you can knock down the idols that you are worshiping in my place. I'm enough for you. He says, I'm enough for you. I am that I am. I'm all that you need, he says. And through removing unbelief and laying everything down in repentance, it prepares us for the journey. Another thing, they had to eat the whole lamb. Remember I mentioned that? Eyeballs? Like, were they, the intestines? Like, some of y'all like chitlins. Like the whole lamb. It said the whole lamb. Don't leave anything. And if something was left, they did burn it. So it's like, it's completely consumed. It's the same for us. We need to receive the whole lamb. All of Jesus. All of him. And look at this. We can't pick and choose what we think tastes good. Just because it tastes a little funny to us right now. Just because our taste buds aren't trained yet to recognize its goodness, it doesn't mean you can just chuck that piece. You have to eat the whole lamb. He's calling you to eat all of it. All of it. Yes, the eyeballs, because then you'll see the way he sees. Yes, the legs, because then you can walk the way he walks. Yes, the brain, because you'll have the mind of Christ. All of it. All of it. The whole lamb. Yes, the heart, so that you may have the heart of God. Eat the whole lamb. Some of us, the reason why you're not able to exit is because you need a strengthening meal. You have not filled yourself with a meal that will strengthen you for the journey. You've not filled yourself. Your body is not nourished enough to walk out because you can't do it in the strength of yourself. You need the strength of a meal that will empower you to say no to the way of the world. That will empower you to recognize where you've been enslaved. That will empower you to say, actually, this is not good, but this is. Thank you, Lord. May we receive the whole lamb. Somebody tell him, Lord, I want the whole lamb. I want the whole lamb. I shall eat the whole lamb. I receive the whole lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because he doesn't want you to do it by your own strength. He's trying to give you food for the journey. Oh my God. Some of my major idols, a way that I had to exit, and I didn't even know. I had placed so much, I don't know if I told you guys, I'm a seminary, and I went to seminary school, and I like really learned a theological education, and I love politics and sociology, all of those things. And so those things were such idols in my life. Even though I was studying in the name of Jesus, it's still a system of man. And so I found some trust, I found some footing, because all of those things that I've learned were not okay. They weren't all truly rooted because it's a system of man. And so I learned some things, and I sat comfortably in some beliefs that were not in agreement with God. I sat comfortably in even an identity. I talked about that last time I was up here. Like my physical identity. Like I'm a black woman, educated black woman. I've had so much comfort in this system, in this the flesh, in the physical, and in these systems. And when the Lord began to show me, look at this. This is not, you found so much trust in these things, in their faulty idols that you've set before me. And actually, I want all of you. And actually, you're not just this physical person, but you are made in the image of my spirit. And I'm calling you to be born again in spirit. And if you keep finding so much trust and so much hope in these systems that have helped, that I've used to help you get here, then you'll not be able to be who I've called you to be within them. Because we're still in the world. We're just not of it. And he wants us in the world because he wants us to show these kingdoms, right, who the true king is. And when we come with excellence, with the power and the beauty of Christ, we display that, right? And it displays and it glorifies him in the midst of the world because we're in it, but we're not of it. So when he's saying come out of it, he means in your heart, in your actions, in your ways of thinking, in your belief systems. We can't compartmentalize our lives. He wants all of it, and he wants you to have all of him. Another thing, which I think is just gets me every time. Remember what it said. They had to eat it fully dressed. Do you remember that point? Where was that, 11? And it says in verse 11, and thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, with sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You're eating this meal up, ready to go. Staff in your hand, and you eat it in haste. Don't slowly pick it and eat it, but eat it quickly. You consume that, you like tear it up, like Carver at the dinner table, like tear it up. That's my son, my six-year-old son. That boy can eat. He says, you know, I'm an eater. He says that. He says, eat it in haste. Eat it quickly with everything on, ready for to allow this meal to give you strength to take the journey. Take the exit. I think sometimes we give a little too much leeway. You know, it's a process. Where? Will God continue to sanctify you through the wilderness? Yes. Will he continue to show you where you still have some Egypt in you, and then he'll show you can get rid of it easily? Yes. But here's the process. You eat it quickly. You be ready to get out. You be ready to cut off those friends that are not serving you to go toward Christ. You be ready to delete that playlist that is pushing you more toward the things of the world and toward the things of the enemy. You be ready to leave those places where God says, actually, this is not where I've called you to be. We have to go other places. Eat it in haste. Eat it quickly and ready to go. Here's the sad truth. A lot of Christians don't take the exodus. We say, praise God. We may even eat the lamb, but then stay in Egypt. Don't stay. We have to get out because there's a greater kingdom. There's a greater kingdom. And no matter how the enemy has tried to deceive you in believing that his way is good, it's false. We can't find any hope in it. You can't find any trust in it. No matter what it tries to promise you, it will always fail because it's temporary. It's fading and fleeting. And the Lord doesn't want you to be temporary. But he wants for you to eat and receive eternal life. Because Jesus is eternal life. When we eat of him, we receive eternal life. And it springs up into life forevermore. Lord, help us take the exodus. Empower us to take the journey. Let not one person desire to stay even for a little bit, and let us take it in haste. Sometimes even when we take it, right? The enemy tries to come after. Because remember, the Lord did this work and he was taking them out, and here comes Pharaoh's kingdom. Actually, never mind. We don't want y'all to go. And by the power of God, which is a picture of baptism, they crossed through the waters. Some of you were baptized last week. That was a crossing over. You passed through the waters. And in the waters, the kingdom of the world was drowned. He opened it up. For those of you who are maybe not familiar, Moses used his staff and it opened up an entire sea. And the people of Israel marched out as they were coming after them. And the Lord closed it and completely drowned every lying spirit, every demonic power, every fierce thing, every single thing that would try to come against you, every way of the world, all of it lost its power. All of it. And so long as we do those things, we receive the lamb and eat it in haste, remove the leaven of unbelief, are baptized in the waters, we are empowered to truly and fully, completely take the exodus and to cross over completely and to be the light in the world, but not of it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you right now for every single person in this place. I thank you, God, that you are such a faithful and a powerful God. You love us so much. You hear us. You see us. You've empowered us by your Spirit to leave the way of the world. And Lord, maybe it doesn't matter how we've been connected to this system, but I thank you, God, that we can come out. We can come out of sin. We can come out of the lies, and we will not allow the trick of the enemy to deceive us to love our slavery ever again. So if there's anyone in here and you say, today is the day of my exodus, even if you began it before, but you were walking out slowly, if you say, today I will make haste and I will connect with a community who will continue to push me more toward the things of the kingdom of Christ, today is the day. Today is the day.
Praise God. I trust that this message has touched your heart today. Listen, we don't claim to have all the answers, but we do know one answer. And his name is Jesus Christ. So if you don't have a personal relationship with him today, we want to invite you to do so. Or maybe you had one with him, but you've just gotten away and you're desiring to come back to Christ today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer today. If you would, repeat this after me. Put your hand over your heart and say these words. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died, rose from the grave, and he is alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. As a result of what I've confessed with my mouth and what I believe in my heart, I am right now born again and in right standing with God. In Jesus' name. Praise God. We are so excited for you. We believe that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Congratulations. We are so excited that you made the decision to get connected to God.
Thank you for listening today. If this message encouraged or inspired you in any way, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and leave a review too. For past messages, updates, and more, please visit us at linkedupchurch.com or download the Linked Up Church app. You can also watch live services, view past messages, and see our dynamic content for children, youth, and teens on our Facebook and YouTube pages. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Linked Up Church. And if you would like to support more of what we're doing, you can give online at linkedupchurch.com or text GetConnected to 94000. Thanks again for listening. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to connecting with you.